I'm the best in the world at what I do. I've been the best since day one. On this microphone, in the booth, in my bed, I live it, I breathe it, I am it. Welcome to the Soldier Thoughts of Donnie Wu podcast, featuring the one and only Donnie Wu, best of what he does. Listen at your own risk. What y'all waiting on? Festering, having trouble digesting all the crap I have to eat just to remain a gentleman. A little wordy, I know a weight is better than, but I'm also stubborn, considered a pain veteran. Another feather in my cap that's a fitted. If it wasn't for my fam, I swear I would quit it. I don't forget shit, that's part of the problem. Brooding black figure, bootleg Dark Knight of Gotham. Would have had the debt if I chose wearing a condom. Have no regrets, I leave those where I found them. Got a death sentence with no chance for a pardon. Mad for 20, can reminisce of a hard-on.
Recognize his face, acknowledging greatness. On a different level, it's the face of the faceless.
If I get this up, what I do with the stress? Without an outlet to vent, proclaim I'm the best. In the world of what the fuck, you remember the rest. I gotta keep all the shit pinned up in my chest. I guess that's probably where I keep it. Spare the whole world, no longer teaching, no longer reaching for perceived perfection. Need more consistency for prolonged erections. I finally find direction, discover what I'm best at. Shooting at every perceived slight, yeah, clap back. Or clap first, foot on the pedal, grease the base. I'ma exit now, I'm the recognized place. Recognize this face, acknowledge my greatness. On a different level, it's the face of the faceless. Recognize this face, acknowledge my greatness. On a different level, it's the face of the faceless.
Recognize this face, acknowledge my greatness. On a different level, it's the face of the faceless.
People, welcome to another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Donnie U podcast, featuring the one and only Donnie U. Best of whatever he does. Yeah. I'm back from a self-imposed sabbatical, from a self-imposed bye week, from a self-imposed break, from a self-imposed week off. I don't know how many self-imposed things I can come up in my noggin right now, but regardless, everything was self-imposed. Had to take care of some business. Had to deal with some self-care. Yeah, I know. I swear, that's a buzzword for therapy. You know, they always say that you're always supposed to make some time for yourself. Care for yourself. And I did, to a certain degree. You know, I had some issues I had to figure out what was going on. And being the fact that, for the most part, I try to be an open book to my dozen and dozen of Donnie U listeners. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I didn't forget to put the S on it. Trust and believe, I did not forget to put the S on it. It went from dozens to about a dozen. But I still persevere. I still progress. I still chug along and grind shit out. But before I lose train of thought, your boy had to go to a cardiologist last week. And I know people probably like, cardiologist, damn, what, you old? Yeah, I'm fucking old. I'm old as dirt. Not dirty, just old as dirt. But I had to go and get the old ticker looked at, because I was having some palpitations. And being the fact that I'm 46 years old, you know, this is the time that you really need to not ignore signs that your body is telling you. I really have no answer. I didn't receive an answer to exactly what was going on. But at least I'm in the process of doing so. So, you know, I got to wear this damn little monitor for another 7 days, send the shit in through the mail, have them look at the readings, and then by the time that I have my follow-up appointment, they can figure out what the fuck was causing me to have palpitations. As you can tell from the tone of my voice, Subdued Donnie is not going to be in effect this week. Partly because I'm not as anxious as I was of trying not to get overly excited. And the shit that happened this past week, the shit that happened this past Sunday in New England, in Foxborough, concerning my New York Jets, and those motherfucking New England Patriots, has gotten me off track. And as much as I would love to just lump everybody in and just say, you know what, same old Jets, SOJ, no. It was not the SOJ. It was not the same old Jets. Yes, we lost. And they say football, you have three areas in which you must, you know, actually execute for you to win. Our defense was top notch. Our defense only gave up 3 points. Our defense was slaughtering the New England offensive line and so forth. But unfortunately, our special teams ended up costing us the game. And if that wasn't bad enough, about 3 weeks ago, I was about to say 2 weeks ago, but I forgot I skipped a week. About 3 weeks ago, I was so disturbed by our supposed franchise quarterback, Zach Wilson, and his performance against these same New England Patriots, albeit at home, that I had to go to the YouTube streets and get some thoughts out. Well, guess what? I got a little bit of deja vu, because I had to go to the YouTube streets and just give a little disclaimer of, Yeah, I'm pissed off. Check out the pod on Wednesday. I'm letting y'all know at the very tippity top of this episode will be a one topic episode. I'm going to once again combine my Jets recap with my beloved segment that I entitled, They Fuckers Are Trash. Only this time, I'm not going to use the plural form of these fuckers. I'm going to use the singular form of this fucker is trash. This fucker I'm talking about is Zach Wilson. And that is going to be what's on deck this week. I might sprinkle a little bit of thoughts on Big Blue, G-Men, and their loss this past Sunday against the Detroit Lions or Detroit Lions. But I'll probably give maybe like 2-3 minutes on that. Because unfortunately for y'all, and fortunately for me, albeit I don't know how fortunate, I didn't watch not a fucking second of that game because I was fully engrossed in the debacle that happened in Foxborough. So yeah, that's what's going to be on deck this week. Before I get shit up and running, I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me in this here podcast the one y'all sometimes choose to listen to. Trust me, no shade. I feel no type of way whatsoever with my dwindling numbers. But unlike a certain entitled piece of shit in Florham Park, I will take responsibility for the outcome. I will take responsibility like a grown-ass man and not a petulant child. I will look inward and try to figure out what has gone wrong and what I can do to improve my listenership. Yeah. You see how easy that was, Mr. fucking Zach Wilson? Matter of fact, scratch the mister because there ain't nothing fucking adult about his ass. Young Zach Wilson. You see, that's how it's done. That's how you take accountability for being a trash individual. Even though I'm not a trash individual, but you get the gist. So yeah, that's what's untapped this week. And one last thing. My EP, my debut EP, The Elders, with Jay Furman, producer extraordinaire, and yours truly, Donnie O, is still out. It's still available on Bandcamp. Bandcamp.com or the Bandcamp app. And being the fact that it's Thanksgiving week and we should be in the mood of giving. And you know what comes with Thanksgiving? Black Friday. Ain't no that. Guess what? Ain't gonna be no fucking sale. It's $7. Cop. Please. I mean, shoot. You're gonna spend $7 just going to and from shopping. So, you know, if you really give a fuck about yours truly, I would appreciate your patronage. All right, yeah. Let's get the rest of this shit on the road. Let's get this shit on the road, huh? Without further ado. Good night, mwah! And goodbye. Bang!
These fuckers are trash!
Offense, though, I mean, when you guys are only able to score 3 points, the defense only lets up 3 points. I mean, do you feel like you let the defense down at all?
No. Thank you.
As an offense, though, I mean, when you guys are only able to score 3 points, the defense only lets up 3 points. I mean, do you feel like you let the defense down at all?
No. Thank you.
As an offense.
You know, I played that shit twice, three times as nice for one particular reason. Because I wanted it to have extra emphasis, extra impact. That was Zach Wilson. In a post-game presser. And just in case Y'all didn't hear it. Here it goes for a third time.
As an offense, though, I mean, when you guys are only able to score 3 points, the defense only lets up 3 points. I mean, do you feel like you let the defense down at all?
No.
Do you feel like you let the defense down that only gave up 3 points? And you heard his answer. Nope. Nope. It was actually worse if you saw the visual form. I've been sitting here for maybe about 15, 20 minutes before I press record, trying to gather my thoughts, because, you know, I usually go off the top of the head. I do have trusty-ass notes. Hey, Sister Ooh. That I will get to later on. But I was sitting here for like about 15 minutes trying to gather my thoughts and trying to figure out how I was going to try to get my point across without being a raving lunatic, because if you couldn't tell, I'm back in my humble abode. It's a little bit past midnight. Yeah, I'm recording this late Monday night, early Tuesday morning. And, you know, since the holiday is approaching, but not quite here yet, I'm not going to try to wake up my daughters and my wife, because they have to get up early in the morning. They have school and work. Anyway, so I figured I'm going to give you a timeline of my Sunday leading up to Jets Patriots and immediately preceding said debacle in Foxborough. So, being the fact it's Thanksgiving week, everybody has to get up and get out to go food shopping so we can enjoy the festivities on Turkey Day. So, me, Mrs. Ooh, Mia Ooh, even though I know she's going to kill me when she hear that, we went up and went out to Walmart to go food shopping, which normally we go to Secaucus, New Jersey. But this time, due to reasons, we chose to go to Valley Stream, Long Island, to that piece of shit Walmart out there. But I'm figuring, you know, 9:30, all right, there might be a little bit of crowd, but it's not going to be insane. It's not going to be crowded. Boy, was I mistaken. As soon as I made that right into Green Acres, and I saw the sea of cars in the parking lot, I'm like, oh, this is going to be some bullshit. But luckily, we was in and out in maybe about an hour. Not bad. But I'm still revving up. I'm getting ready for Jets Patriots part two. Revenge was on my mind, because our loss in MetLife Stadium against these same cocksuckers, it was due to Zach Wilson, for the reason why we lost that game. He coughed it up 3 times. Inexplicable interception after interception after interception. Shoot. I spoke about it when it happened. I think that was episode 139. Narratives. Oh yeah, we got a lot of narratives on this one. So we get home, you know, put the food up, park the car, go get a late brunch, bring in the house, reschedule my therapy session from before the game to actually in the middle of the game, but around halftime, so I didn't miss much. And first half wasn't promising, but I'm figuring it's a nip and tuck game. Zach is being very conservative, but he hasn't coughed up the ball. So, not bad.
Not bad. The defense playing their ass off. They said it after the last loss. We're looking forward to the rematch. Because they knew that they did their part. And it still slipped through their hands. So this time, they had a chance for redemption. They said, you know what? We're not going to allow Zach to fuck it up. We're just not going to allow no touchdowns. And they did their job. So I come back in the house after my session. And I'm watching the second half. Punt. 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 I swear, it's like we got the ball with inside the 10-yard line the whole second half. And every time we was on offense, I was just like, in my mind, I was like, look, just don't throw the ball away. Don't throw this game away. Do not turn it over. That was the only thing that was in my mind. Do not give this game away. Because Bill Belichick, who I will get to in a very few minutes, was scared to death. Yes, they did have way more offensive yards than us, but shit, it wasn't like they was fucking gangbusters. We only had 103 total yards. Mac Jones threw for like 257 or something like that. Right? Bill Belichick was scared to death. He was not aggressive. He was actually playing the field position game as well. He was actually trying to, probably thinking, you know, if we can just hold stout long enough, Zach will cough it up. But it got to the point of disbelief of how anemic the Jet offense was. There was multiple plays in which Zach Wilson flippantly threw the ball into the flat 15 feet above Braxton Berrios' head on a wide receiver screen. Another wide receiver screen. He was so inaccurate with the pass. Denzel Mims, of all people, threw his hands up in disgust like, yo, what the fuck? I think you can actually read his lips through the helmet saying, what the fuck? Couple times, Zach Wilson missed Garrett Wilson, and Garrett Wilson displayed his displeasure with the, oh man. You know what? Instead of trying to come up with a word, how about I just let the man speak for himself?
We got to be detailed, you know, all of us. You know, it started during the week in practice, coaching, all of that. Man, we all got to be more detailed. We all got to have a better plan. It's just not okay. I mean, straight up, it's not okay. We had how many total yards we had?
A little over 100.
Yeah, that shit's not gonna fly. So, you know, we got the dudes. It's time, you know, it's time to be consistent. It's time to start winning the games we should win. And it's time to do all that. It starts in the practice week, man. It's got to be better. You know, things that we see and don't call out, it's got to start getting called out. This is unacceptable, and no one wants to feel like this, but that's not enough. You know, you got to do something about it. And hopefully this is a wake-up for some people in the facility, you know, for us in the facility to get on our details.
Who in the facility?
You know, all of us, my fault. All of us. We all got to take that responsibility and build each other up and come the right way, come ready to work. But have a plan, though. It can't just be passively working. It can't just be in the facility and not know what we're there for. You know, we gotta find something to get better at, especially in the passing game. Shit. Let me call it like it is. We gotta get better in the passing game if we want to be where we want to be at. And we know we can be there. So that's the most frustrating part. You know, we ain't got to be in these games like this. I mean, they ain't even scoring offense, and we lost the game. So me personally, I just feel like we got to use this as take it for what it is. We got our ass beat on offense, and the result, result shows. We've had 100 yards, so. Sorry, out here looking sorry, man. And we know that we're not sorry, so that's why it really, really hurts. You know, we know that we're better than that. That's why it hurts. That's why it's frustrating for me, because we can do more. And honestly, I feel like they gotta put some more trust in the receiver room. I feel like we can go up and make plays, do things, I don't know if everyone feel that way, but hopefully, you know, by the time. Get around next week, you know, everyone feel that way.
To me, it wasn't hard to see who he was talking about, who he was referring to. He was referring to that petulant bastard, Zach Wilson. That man that you heard is a rookie. From the Ohio State University. They're not accustomed to losing. They're not accustomed to being outclassed. They're not accustomed to looking like they don't belong. Remember when I said a couple episodes ago that the one thing I liked about the makeup of this current iteration of the New York Jets is the fact that they have multiple players, their young nucleus, their young core are all from winning programs, winning situations. Even the free agents that we added to the young core is from winning franchises, successful franchises. That's a winning mentality. And what he was saying, and what he was displaying, is a winning mentality of this shit cannot continue to happen. We need to nip it in the bud right now. It starts at practice, holding each other accountable. Stop thinking that you're above reproach. Stop thinking that you're above criticism. Stop thinking that you're the second coming. There's no way in hell you can get to that level if you do not put the work in. And what it seems like on paper and in real life and living color is that this team has all the components necessary to finally get out of the doldrums, but we have one fatal flaw. And that floor is our quarterback. Our floor is our quarterback because a quarterback, especially in the matter of fact, not especially where else would you even talk about fucking quarterbacks, but the National Football League. But a quarterback has to be a leader of men. He has to instill trust and confidence in his teammates for them to run through a brick wall for them. And when you're asked a question, a simple yes or no question, when you are the leader of an offense that only scored 3 points and only accumulated 103 yards of total offense for the game, especially when their defense is playing lights out, do you feel that the offense, they even kind of categorize as that, like, we're not going to pinpoint you, but even though he is the leader of the offense, right?
As an offense, though, I mean, when you guys are only able to score 3 points, the defense only lets up 3 points. I mean, do you feel like you let the defense down at all?
No.
As an offense, though, I mean, when you guys are only able to score 3 points, the defense only lets up 3 points. I mean, do you feel like you let the defense down at all?
No.
As
this is our supposed franchise quarterback. This is our supposed leader of the team. This is our supposed captain. I swear. As soon as his ass would have walked into that locker room after that presser, I would have hemmed that motherfucker up and snatched the C off his fucking chest. Because there was a part that, matter of fact, there was no part. He did not want to be held accountable for shit. Nothing. Called it. I was hoping, praying that I was wrong. But I saw this on draft night. I called it on draft night. That there was red flags all over the fucking place with this dude. Remember, and this is like, matter of fact, right in the middle of the pandemic, where, you know, I don't even think either, was the vaccines out? Or the vaccines that just came out? Big controversy, but regardless of all that, it was wear a mask or don't wear a mask. And they were caught wearing pretty much camouflage masks. Like they were, to the light, they seemed like they was masks, but they was really see-through. It was some bullshit. We had problems with his mom on social media. And of course, the controversy coming into the season with him supposedly cheating on his girlfriend by fucking one of his mom's friends. Right? So now we're at this. You know what? No, we're not getting there yet. This is going to be a key point in the tenure of Robert Saleh. As this season has shown, the team rallies around him, and he put his neck on the line when he said, "Yeah, y'all talking shit now, but I'm gonna hold all these receipts. So when we busting everybody's ass, I'm going to be calling names." And from that point on, they were, up until this past Sunday, they were 6-2. They had won 6 of 8 since he said that. They supported his decisions over the last 2 years of pretty much burying Denzel Mims, or should I say, holding Denzel Mims accountable. And really forced Denzel Mims to step up to what was deemed acceptable. And now he's right into the rotation. When Elijah Moore start chirping off prior to the trading deadline, trying to get off the team, and the way he did it, he was inactive for the next game and slowly put back into the wide receiver rotation. He's still not there all the way yet. And tell you the truth, if Corey Davis was healthy, I believe Mims would stay active and Moore would probably be the one on the outside looking in. So this is very, very pivotal for Robert Saleh to make the right decision. Because those are two examples right there of trying to instill a culture of what will and what will not be accepted. And Zach Wilson and his demeanor and his lack of accountability to both his team and the fan base, but more importantly to his team, has to be dealt with. So now we've entered the portion of where I'm going to go through my trusty ass notes. I have some stats, some numbers, even though I'm more of a vibe guy. But some things might be repeated, some things might not. But here we go. Do you know that Zach Wilson, in the last two seasons since he's come into the NFL, is 0-4 against those fucking New England Patriots? On Sunday, the Jets, did you know on Sunday the Jets had more punts than Zach Wilson had completions? The Jets punted 10 times. Zach only completed the ball 9 times. Zach Wilson was 9 of 21 for 77 yards passing. The Jets only tallied 103 yards of total offense. The Jets, and this is an insane stat. The Jets averaged 2.88 inches per play in the second half. Yeah. That's not a... I didn't misspeak on shit. Let me repeat myself. The Jets averaged 2.88 inches per play in the second half. 2 yards total for the second half. Do you know there's a... I'm trying to think how I'm going to say this without being too vulgar. Some would say Donnie is so endowed that he himself outgained the Jets in the second half. He had more than 2 yards. Yeah, I think I got over with that. Let me continue. There was a report on Sunday that Zach Wilson's demeanor after the loss gave the impression that he didn't believe he was the problem. I repeat. A report on Sunday said Zach Wilson's demeanor after the loss gave the impression that he does not believe he's the problem. On Monday, there was another report saying raw feelings remain amongst defensive players over Zach Wilson's refusal to be held accountable for his group's failures. You're the quarterback. You're the head of the snake. You're the head of the offense. You must, if your offense stink, guess what? You stunk. You touch the ball every fucking play, don't you? Yeah. Sources inside the Jets losing locker room told SNY that Wilson was walking around after the game like, yo, that shit ain't my fault. Yo, if these motherfuckers learn how to run the right routes, wouldn't have to worry about potential interceptions. There was a quote, and I wish I had the video for it or the audio. There was, matter of fact, it wasn't a quote. This came out of Zach Wilson's mouth verbatim because I was watching the shit on SNY post-game live. Right? They asked him, what did he feel or how did he feel when he saw the outward display of displeasure with Denzel Mims and Garrett Wilson. And he was like, you know, which squad is what it is. You know, it's very, you know, we're all competitive and everything. You know, I don't take that personally because, you know, it's not like, you know, I get frustrated when they don't run the wrong route, so they're not where they're supposed to be. But you know, we don't, which guard, we just move on. And I'm like, whoa. There's too many times that he doesn't seem to be on the same page as his receivers. If it's not open on that first read, he's lost. And then he consistently turns his back to the defense. But let me continue. It rubbed more than a few the wrong way, frustrating several others. To say that you don't express frustration behind closed doors if a receiver ran the wrong route or the offensive line is missing assignments was wild. I'm glad I went back to my notes because that was the actual saying. He has no self-awareness whatsoever. And if they don't get this nipped in the bud right now, the defensive side will revolt if something ain't done with this little bitch. Quinnen Williams said when asked that Zach did not talk about his comments to the team afterwards. Of course he wouldn't. He probably got in and tried to get the fuck out of the Dodge quick. These ends ain't getting my white ass. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Here's another set. Joe Flacco, Joe Cool, Joe whatever, has thrown for 5 TDs this season. Of course, he started the first 3 games. Unfortunately, our team was 1-2. But he threw for 5 touchdowns in those three games. Do you know Zach Wilson has only thrown for 4 touchdowns in the 7 games that he started? Yeah. Matter of fact, the 6 games that he started. My bad. Because it's 6-4. See? I take accountability for my actions. And let's try to speed this shit up. Both Mims and Moore had to be pulled from the lineup because of non-team friendly activities, right? He said that he did not feel that he let the defense down with his or his offensive performance. Garrett Wilson went on a tirade after the game. I told y'all. Well, I let y'all listen. How many total yards did we have? Yeah, that shit ain't gonna fly. Mims repeatedly showed his frustration throughout the game with his misreads and his inaccurate passes, especially not calling the right protection. And this is very, very important before I get out of here. Mark Sanchez, if you will, for all his faults, took responsibility. Zach Wilson is the reason. You know what? Let me get my shit together because I don't want to end this shit on a down note. What I was saying before I chose to say, you know what, let me start over again to a certain degree. With Sanchez, this is slightly mirroring our run in 2009 and 2010. Only this 2 key differences, though. One, most importantly, is that the core of this team, matter of fact, the whole team is young. So this is, the basement was last year. We added some much needed talent through the draft. And now it's starting to blossom and you can see it. You can see the potential to ascend. 2009, 2010, that was a veteran-laden team. And it was almost as if, all right, let's see if we can steal one now while we have the rookie quarterback. And then by that time, he will have enough confidence that when we replace the elder statesmen of the team, he'll be able to carry us or allow us to maintain our success. Unfortunately, they were wrong. But the other key difference is the brashness of the team, led by their head coach back in 2009 and 2010. Now we have a brashness, but it's not over the top, but it's more of a self-belief of we're damn good. That clip that I played of Garrett Wilson, that was a snippet of their belief, of their feeling of we're damn good and we can't allow this bozo to hold us back right now. We're ahead of schedule. They both parallel with the rookie quarterbacks. They both parallel with a defensive-minded head coach, and the strong side of both teams are the defense. But the offense would be infinitely better if we had better quarterback play, because we have the skill positions. But like I said, Sanchez, I believe in his rookie year, Rex instilled a saying, well, a belief, that when you're being interviewed, don't talk about yourself but so much, but you always have to include another teammate or two. So Sanchez would be like, yeah, you know, I think I had a pretty decent game, but it was due to Cotri, which they used to call Jayco. And he would say, yeah, the offensive line and Jayco really carried me through. You know, Nick Mangold. And he would pretty much rattle off like that. And I think that was a way to keep himself out of trouble, or for them to make sure he wouldn't talk himself into trouble. But there was one game in particular, I want to say after the 5-interception game against Buffalo, in which Thomas Jones ran, I mean, I think the Jets ran for damn near 300 yards rushing. And they lost based on 5 interceptions by Sanchez. And he got in there and he just was matter of fact, and he would roll off the names and he was so dismissive. And he got called on the carpet for that. And he did adjust. There was also, I think there was a famous time where he got caught eating a hot dog on the sideline in Oakland when we was busting their ass. But like I said, this is a pivotal point for the Jets. This is one, matter of fact, there's one other thing that I have to add. It's very, very important that I do. Because I just looked at my notes. I'm like, damn, I still got notes left to talk about. As of Monday afternoon, Zach Wilson's starting status for this week's upcoming game against the Chicago Bears was up in the air. When Saleh was asked, he was non-committal on Wilson starting the game. He said, you know what? We're going to keep everything on the table. We're going to have to evaluate some more. And right now, everything's on the table. There's two quarterbacks that Zach Wilson has been compared to with two big differences. Well, Aaron Rodgers sat for 2 years behind the welfare queen, Brett Favre. That allowed him to kind of ease the transition. Yes, this was about 16 years ago, but regardless, being on the bench for those 2 years and actually seeing an overhead view of how everything goes probably wasn't valuable. Allow him to mature and kind of see how things were done the correct way. Patrick Mahomes sat for his first season People forget about that. And he sat behind a consummate professional and Alex Smith. Zach Wilson was thrust into the lineup due to necessity and had selfish-ass Joe Flacco as his OG. Zach Wilson's entitled. He comes from privilege, so he has an enormous ego, and he's not used to being called on the carpet. His uncle, I believe it's his uncle who owns JetBlue Airlines. He's from Utah. His ass has always been kissed. I guarantee it. I wonder why they made sure Mike White wasn't a factor this season, factor this year coming into the season. Were they afraid that if Mike White was a viable option, he would prove that he actually is better than Zach Wilson? Who knows? But I bet the team respects him way more than Wilson at this point. Remember what happened to Eli? G-Man. Remember what happened to Eli back in 04? The Giants were in contention and sat Kurt Warner to let Eli get his lumps. The defense especially was pissed. Michael Strahan was pissed. Team was fractured for years afterward because Eli was taking his lumps. They would get into the playoffs, but he was just anemic. It took that 07 Super Bowl for them to finally bring that team together. And even in the later years, when Eli was washed and they kept on trotting his ass out, you don't think the defense was feeling a certain way? Like, yo, why we got this old motherfucker back there? We busting that. Matter of fact, I'm not busting my ass no more. Fuck it. I'm going to collect this check. Now, I've been a Jets fan 40 years. For 40 years. I just realized 40 years. I got to change my bio. 40 years. I first discovered the Jets in the strike shortened season of 1982. It's been a curse. As I said before, and I'll reiterate myself, I did not watch a lick of the G-Men this past weekend. I just know they lost. Now, I ain't gonna lie, part of me wants to be a real asshole and just talk shit about the G-Men to make myself feel better. And I might do it at a later date, but this is not the time nor the place to talk shit or just really pour salt in anybody else's wound, because one of the things that I lament for my team never reaching the Super Bowl in my lifetime is that 2 week lead up to the big game, in which the two teams are focused on. And especially if you're a fan of those teams, it's like, yeah, everybody's kissing your ass for 2 weeks. This week so far has been the opposite. My team has been in the spotlight based on not so much their play as a whole, but the play of one individual. And of course, it's low-lying fruit for everybody who wants to say same old Jets, SOJ. Guess what? You get SMD with Cool Whip on top. And I'm lactose intolerant, so I wonder how that's going to taste. The sick, demented shit that I come up with, I amaze myself. I geed. But yeah, so I'm not gonna be an a-hole and talk shit about the Giants, because regardless of their loss this past week, it was kind of expected. And I say that with no shade, no tongue firmly in cheek, none of that. I'm just saying, just the odds of the Giants hadn't lost. All right, they lost against Seattle, but they was averaging like, you know, it had been like 2 weeks so far, so they were due for a loss. You know, Detroit was everything that the Giants probably didn't need to face at that time. A prolific offense and a defense good enough to not allow practice players to run all around the field. And plus, injuries have really decimated this team. And Daboll, probably, this was a blessing in disguise, because now Daboll can really put them to task and burst any bubbles that anybody had of illusions of grandeur. And like I said, there's no shade. And I know some of y'all probably think, this mother. No, I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. Because like right now, I'm not really in a position to talk shit about nobody or nothing. Because my team, this trash-ass individual that I have as a quarterback, deprived me of that. And that's probably why I'm even more pissed off. So yeah, the Jets, they go against Chicago. There's word that Justin Fields, second year quarterback, you know, a quarterback who coincidentally we could have picked, it's questionable for this upcoming game due to a shoulder injury. I believe it's a dislocated shoulder. I'm not sure. Now, the Giants have a short week because they're actually playing on Turkey Day. On Turkey Day. Get the fuck out of here. That's crazy. But, yeah, the Giants are playing on Turkey Day. Against the Dallas Cowboys. The Giants were actually in the same position as my New York Jets last week. My Jets went from potentially having sole possession of first place to currently inhabiting last place in the division. The Giants had a chance to get a share of first place with a win, and now they're third in the division, trying to stave off the Washington Commandos. Y'all get the gist. So this is a very pivotal game for the Giants, but they lost on Wandell Robinson to an ACL injury, so he's gone for the rest of the season. I believe y'all lost Adoree Jackson for 3 to 4 weeks. Yeah. Listen, the one thing that I've learned not to do this season is go against Brian Daboll, to doubt Brian Daboll. Now, while they might not win because they just don't have the firepower, and Saquon Barkley can only do but so much, so they might not win, but they damn sure not going to get blown out. This last game was the first time they got blown out, and it's too much of a bounce back for me to believe that Daboll is going to allow them to get blown out on a national game. I'm almost getting into a Hidden Gems football spiel and fucking about to give you my prediction, but I'm not even picking that game. Might throw some coin on it for the spread, but anyway. I'll end like this. At the end of the game, when we lost due to a punt return, an 84-yard punt return with 5 seconds remaining. We just knew he was going into overtime. Justin Hardy, special team extraordinaire, took fault. Even though he did get blocked in the back, but he took fault by allowing himself to get hemmed up on the sideline, in which that was the same sideline that the Patriots ran right by his ass into the end zone. But he took accountability. He took accountability over that. I just can't understand how the fuck did we lose? But regardless, so as soon as the punt went off, I saw it was too much of a line drive. It was right in the middle. And once he got on that sideline and he made two people miss, I went out the house into the hallway and just almost collapsed. Matter of fact, I did collapse to the ground. Like, I can't believe they're fucking going to lose like that. I did not watch a lick of sports the rest of the day after the post-game live. I couldn't do it. Not only did it cost me some coin, it just was, that was, it was almost like a double blow. It was almost like a double blow. What a way to come back from a sabbatical, right? Shit. Enough to make me go back to on a sabbatical. Enough. It was enough to make me almost call my fucking psychiatrist and be like, I need another session. Well, people, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Donnie Oop podcast. Like I said in the intro and I will say in the outro, I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me in this here podcast, the one y'all choose to listen to. I will be back next week by hook or crook, begrudgingly. Nah, let me stop. I'll be back next week on my regular schedule. I kind of started my regular schedule this week, right? But yeah, I'll let y'all know if I'm going to take a break again anytime soon or not. You know, I mean, can't even say I didn't let y'all know last time because I did, you know. So anyway, before I get the prerequisite plugs out the way, I would like to wish each and every one of y'all a happy Turkey Day. Thursday is Turkey Day, T-Day, you know, or the holiday in which people call Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, Turkey Day, what have you, whatever you want to call it, to me, especially at the very beginning of this holiday season, is the holiday that I like the most. Yeah, of course, because of the food. You know, always because of the food. But most importantly, and this is probably why it's being so quickly swept under the rug and forgotten over the years, because it's like as soon as Halloween comes and goes, Christmas. And I'm like, wow, y'all just skip over fucking Thanksgiving. But there's no money to be made over Thanksgiving because it's all about friends and family. It's all about eating. It's all about watching football. It's all about just chilling. Coming in contact with long lost relatives that you know more often than not only see once or twice a year. You know, so I like to wish all of y'all a happy Turkey Day. But there's one thing that must not be left unsaid. And I'm gonna give y'all a little sneak peek into the psyche of one Donnie Oop. This is the time of year where most jobs, they have potlucks. You know, just little gatherings or everybody brings a dish. Now, I don't know. I hope I'm not getting sick, because I just realized, I'm like, yo, I swear that's probably like the first time in like damn near 3 years I actually sniffled. Meaning, you know, when you really should blow your nose, but instead you just sniff it up like, yeah. So I guess I'm slipping. Anyway. But yeah, you know how people want to bring a dish and all that other good shit, right? Listen, Donnie really doesn't eat nobody else's food but my missus. But Mrs. Ooh. And my mother-in-law. Mother-in-law Ooh. And Auntie T. Auntie T. Ooh. And Auntie Mish. Auntie Mish Ooh. I think those are the only people's food who I eat. Of course, my sister Ooh. You know, I really need to get up to Sister Ooh more often so I can eat more of her food. But regardless, my sister could cook. And that's pretty much it. So I've never really been down for these potlucks. Never been down for these friends giving shits. You know, because me personally, either number one, I don't care how somebody say, yo, you need to try this. Such and such is slamming. Yo, fuck that. I am not touching shit. Especially in the age of COVID. I know. Pandemic over. We free. We outside. We touching grass. I don't give a fuck. I don't trust nobody. You're not gonna be sniffling and putting what you call your food in your dirty ass sink to fucking soak it with no vinegar. With no lemon. Not gonna have some nasty ass macaroni and cheese. Oh yeah, I swear. One of the best parts about Turkey Day is watching all the struggle plates. You know, matter of fact, let me preface that with saying the struggle plates of people who are putting their plates online thinking that shit look good. Not those of us who are having a difficult time at this part of the year of actually just putting food on the table. So I don't want it to be misconstrued that I'm making fun of those less fortunate. Because shit, I'm two checks away from being less fortunate myself. So, you know, I wanted to get that shit out there right now. Anyway, damn. Like I said, I hope it was just some dust that came in my nose and everything. Because all of a sudden, I'm like, yo, I'm sniffling. Like, what the fuck? Anyway. So, yeah, I don't like other people's food. I'm an antisocial eater. Shit, my brother Cool could tell you. Matter of fact, that's another one. My brother Cool. I'll eat his food. Because, yo. For those who don't know, and majority of y'all don't know, Brother Cool can throw down. Shit. He been putting shit in my... Matter of fact, boys. Anyway, let's get this shit... All right. So, happy Thanksgiving. Oh man, that was funny. That was fucking classic, to tell you the truth. I swear, that was classic. Anyway, so let's get the prerequisite plugs out the way for this Thanksgiving edition. Check out the homies from the Black Wrestling Podcast on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Check them out each and every Thursday, 8:35 p.m. for BRP Live. Check out their Patreon too. Pay the 1, pay the 10. Check them out on at Black Wrestling / Patreon or Patreon / Black Wrestling. Regardless, check the homies out. Check out my bro, the Hidden Gem Czar himself, the Mojo King, and his two entities, Hidden Gems Golf. If you want to be in the know, for all things concerning fantasy golf, the Hidden Gem Czar, the Mojo King, is the place to go. Hidden Gems Golf. And I've told y'all for damn near a year, matter of fact, it's over a year, that the dude likes to double dip, and double dip he does. And I heard through the grapevine that there's a hip-hop Hidden Gems episode brewing, about to drop, maybe. Check it out. Hip Hop Hidden Gems. We're the Mojo King and his partner, Willie Freeman, hip hop historian himself. Drop gems and unearth all the gems in the history of hip hop. So that's Hip Hop Hidden Gems and Hidden Gems Golf. But you see, I was being kind of selfish. Matter of fact, no, I was being benevolent, but selfish at the same time, because I told y'all he double dips, but no, he triple dips. And he done made me a double dipper, even though only a partial double dipper. The third entity is a joint co-hosting Hidden Gems Football. That's right. Hidden Gems Football. On YouTube, on the 19 Media Group's YouTube page, Hidden Gems Football, where the Mojo King and myself, Donnie, go over this past week's action. And we get y'all ready for the coming week's action, specifically Survivor Picks. We get you ready for the Thursday night matchups. And before all that is said and done, we lead off with Donnie's one thing. I wonder what Donnie's one thing is going to be this week. Only one way to find out. Check us out on the 19 Media Group YouTube page, Hidden Gems Football. And Hidden Gems Football is available on all. Yeah, I'm spreading my wings thanks to the 19 Media Group. All streaming platforms for Apple Podcasts are available. And while we're still talking about the 19 Media Group dudes, check out my bros from Arizona. Gimmick Infringement, G.I., Winchester, and McDowell. Or Winchester and McDowell. Where each week they talk about the happenings in the past week's pro wrestling atmosphere. Check them out this week, in which I'm going to read verbatim what they got on tap this week. And I said this week two times, and guess where, how this shit fucking leads off. I'll give you a hint. This week, the guys break down AEW's 2022 edition of Full Gear. They go through the match results, discuss their favorite matches and moments, and predict what is next for the title holders as the build to Revolution begins. The MJF and Jamie Hayter. Yeah, Jamie Hayter. I was so glad she won. Jamie Hayter eras are upon us, and things are trending upward with the return of the Elite. I got thoughts, but being the fact that I'm trying to wrap this up, I'm going to withhold my thoughts, but the boys from GI know what my thoughts are when it comes to the Elite. Tyler asked Brad about whose stock is trending highest, and Brad uses it as a time to reveal his true feelings about Braun Strowman. This happens just before they vow not to talk about him ever again. Also, who is the mystery partner for War Games? You know what? I'm going to read all of this shit because they are so multifaceted. I would be remiss if I did not read all this shit. Brad and Tyler used this week to reflect on what they are truly thankful for as we approach Thanksgiving. Neither one of them are thankful for Peter Piper's Pizza's namesake, but Brad is thankful to be off of their whirlwind of suffering after the birthday party that he definitely forgot about. Ooh. And finally, Tyler has never heard of Carry On Wayward Son by Kansas, and Brad doesn't know how to handle it. You know, I will say, I've heard that song. When I heard it, I was like, yeah, I've heard this song before. I didn't know the name of it. And I damn sure didn't know who sung it. But yeah, I guess we're showing our age, Brad, huh? My bad. So yeah, check out The Voice of GI on all streaming platforms wherever podcasts are available. And check out their videos, which personally I indulge in, on the 19 Media Group's YouTube page. Check them out. And last but not least, check out the homie, the bro, Body More Bottles. That's right. Body More Bottles on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Check them out on all fucking media platforms, social media platforms. Check them out on Instagram at Body More Bottles because he drops over there too. Check him out on Twitter at Body More Bottles because he might drop over there. But check him out specifically on the YouTube of the name of Body More Bottles. B-More's number one reviewer in all things liqueurs and all things concoctions and all things cocktails and all things bourbon and all these whiskey and all these tequila. Check out the homie Body More Bottles on YouTube. Like and subscribe. What the fuck? And while we're talking about YouTube, I don't know. I've been talking about everybody else's YouTube. Check out the YouTube of Mike Steph. That's right. That's where you can see live, matter of fact, quasi-live, or let's just fucking bottom line it and saying you can see videos of the Salty Thoughts of Donnie Ooh, which are different from the mothership, the flagship, the Salty Thoughts of Donnie Ooh podcast. Check it out. Check me out on the YouTube of Mike Steph. MikeStePh. Mike Steph. Yeah. I just blew through whatever kind of limit that I was trying to self-impose, but you know what? It wouldn't be a proper return if I didn't do so with this record ass. Well, it's not quite that long yet, but I know this fucking outro is longer than normal. So, with all that being said and done, I will check y'all next week. Same Donnie time. Same Donnie channel. For another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Donnie Ooh podcast. Goodbye.
Bye.
Rock, take me up. It was cool at first, you know. Just, you know, rapping about nothing. But then, like, what happened was the people, they started, you know, to talk about things that make sense. I like, the fuck? People read this shit. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. What the fuck you doing? Like, I don't know where that shit come from, man. I was like, yo, fucking amazing, man. For real. For real. I don't even know how this shit started.
It went down like this. One little nigga snuck through the door, peeped the scene, sniped a few, then crept through with two more. Heads were getting nervous. That's three now, they wanna break north. Too late, five more toward the door, straight the fuck off. It's all now. Getting down in the trenches. They soldiers getting the more ass to splinters on raggedy benches. Since it's war, ain't shit sweet. This click disperses, then they transform the chess pieces.
On fair grounds, never spare clowns. Ruck and rock, beat the rooks, hold the square down. Are you prepared now? I tear down any opponent who simulate. Styles buck wild, meanwhile your ass I obliterate. Demonstrate tactics you need practice. First of all, your monkey ass rhyme like you're backwards. I should smash kids when they try to get beyond limits. Timid, but they can never get with Sean.
Say word.
That's word, Sean don't give up. What about none of y'all niggas or snakes that slither? And if you wanna come test the inflictor, I got your name, number, address, plus your picture.
This is the BCC and Double D in the 90 now, we lock it down. This is the BCC and Double D in the 90 now, we lock it down.
Keep my words, yes, my heavenly words. Words that get niggas locked up in 73rd. Prefer to chill, but the sun can't do that. Due to my temperature, tempted to bring it where your crew's at. You lack with the skills that it takes to make ends meet, cause it seems that your ass is weak. My occupation's operation, lockdown on your radio station. Whoever got the hot sound.
Who want tests, y'all? Mr. Maldu, aka Rock Ness, y'all. Guard your chest, y'all. Nothing can protect y'all. From buckshot on down to the rep, y'all. We running through your sets, y'all. Fuck the rest, y'all. We be the best, y'all.
Yes, yes, y'all.
I crack backs north, south, east, or west, y'all. With no stress, y'all. How deep do I get, y'all? Got ancestors and decepts I never met, y'all. Ready to west, y'all. Place your bottom dollar bet, y'all. Chessboards become mess boards if you flex, y'all. Nevertheless, y'all. We out to save the shit before it's dead, y'all. Lock it down with the full court press, y'all. This is the BCC. And double D in the 99, we lock it down. This is the BCC. And double D in the 99, we lock it down. This is the BCC. And double D in the 99, we lock it down. This is the BCC. And double D in the 99, we lock it down.
Ain't nothing moving in the 99. Unless my BCC show you how you can get with the shit that we got. The rook, the rook, the rock, the rock, the main to keep shit locked down.
Now!